Just in case you were wondering. Turn with me to Galatians, the fourth chapter. Be looking at the first 11 verses. Pastor was asked to officiate a lot of weddings one particular season. It just seems like those come in seasons that, you know, haven't done a wedding in a while, but it just seems like they all hit once when they do. And during that time, they were preparing for this pastor's birthday party. And when he asked his son who he's going to invite, the only names he gave were girlfriends. So jokingly asking, well, who are you going to marry when you grow up? And without hesitation, when I grow up, I'm going to be a pastor and I'm going to marry them all. Most kids look forward to growing up for many reasons. I always wanted to be older than I was until a certain point when it changed. Now, what I wouldn't give to be young again, right? But most children look forward to growing up for many reasons. But primarily, the reason why they look forward to growing up is I don't have to obey the rules anymore. I can be free. There's greater freedom with lesser restrictions. And it's not that an adult can marry all his girlfriends. But we will have the freedom to marry that one that we choose to marry. And we have the freedom to make a great number of choices in our life without someone telling us what to do. We don't have the restrictions that a child has. We don't have all the rules and regulations that we put children under. And we do it. We're put under those rules and regulations for our own good. Don't play in the street. Simple. We understand that. And we keep those rules and regulations going until the kids reach a certain age where they can make their own good decisions in life. It's a tragedy when we see adults who cannot or will not make their own decisions, and yet there are a lot of adults who refuse to make their own spiritual decisions in spiritual matters. They're looking for someone to tell them what to do. They're looking for the rules and the regulations. If I do this, this, and this, I'm covered and it'll be fine. They're looking for some magic formula, a list of do's and don'ts that'll make God happy and he'll get them off his back. It'll guarantee them if they do this, this, and this, they'll be guaranteed the good life. Well, I got news for you. There is no magic formula. There is no law that will guarantee a good life. Instead, God is something else for us. His adult children, us, that works a lot better than any other law. You might say, Brother Randy, what is that? We'll get into that in this portion of the book of Galatians. The first thing that we don't want to do as full-grown adults is don't go back to being a slave. Galatians 4:1, it says, now I say that the heir, us, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all. If you're heir to the kingdom and you perceive yourself as a child, then you might as well be a slave. Verse 2, he says that he is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. A child is like a slave because he can't make his own decisions. He cannot manage his own estate. When an underage child receives a large inheritance, we don't give that child all the money and say, here, just buy whatever you want, do it. We put in a trust fund until they reach a certain age when they would be able to wisely use that money. It's their money, but we're keeping it for them. We're putting it up so they can't spend it foolishly. Now, if I was given, well, back in the day, $10,000 would have been a fortune. If I'd been given $10,000 to spend whatever I wanted to when I was 13 years old, it would have been spent very unwisely. So we put in a trust until he's old enough to make responsible decisions. And that's the way it was for God's people. For nearly 1,500 years, from the time of Moses to the time of Christ, we were children in God's eyes. We were like slaves under the guardianship of the law. Look at verse 3. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. It's like when, that's the ABCs of the world, the basic fundamental things of the world. It's like when we were in kindergarten, you had to get permission to go to the bathroom. Can I go to the bathroom? As adults, do y'all do that now? Do you ask permission or you just go? We couldn't even make decisions, our own decisions. Instead, the law did that for them. Even to the point of what to eat and where to go to the bathroom. What to eat, go to the bathroom, how far you can walk on a Sunday or on a Sabbath. I mean, the whole works. I mean, the laws. Have y'all ever kind of read all the law? I've read the law. It has some really interesting stuff. It is worse than the United States bureaucracy red tape. I mean, it's because you make one law, then you go, what about this? And you make another and another and another. Pretty soon, you're restricted in everything that you do. And that was, so, for 1,500 years, the law dictated our lives because, like children, we really didn't know how to make good decisions. We really didn't know how to handle the rich blessings and the inheritance that we had from God. And really didn't know how to handle the rough waters of life itself. So he gave us the law. We restrict children for their own safety. And that's what God did for us by giving us the law. But now, since Christ has come, we are adult sons of God. We are grown up in God's eyes. We are no longer babies. We are no longer under the constraints of the law. Let's look at verses 4 and 5 of Galatians. 4. But when the fullness of time had come, when the time was right, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. The picture here is of an ancient Roman ceremony in which a boy officially comes of age. And he is recognized thereafter as a man. His father set the time, or the date, usually sometime between his 14th and 17th birthday. And on that day, several things would happen at a sacred family festival. First, the father would adopt the boy as his own, officially. That was his kid, but he would adopt him officially as his own, acknowledging him as the legitimate heir, full adult son of that father. In other words, at that point in time, after that ceremony, it was him. He was the man. He was the one that was going to be the heir to the father's stuff, whatever it was. So he had adopted. The second thing, the boy would exchange his childhood garments, the toga praetexta, for the garments of manhood. He would put on a different clothing. Toga paralis is what that was. So he would change garments. So on the outside, when somebody saw him, they would know that is his son. He is an adult now. He is no longer a child, but he is an adult. And the next thing would happen, the boy was granted liberty on that day. He can make his own decisions in life. That means he was no longer under guardians. That means he was no longer under babysitters. He was responsible for making his own decisions in life. And his inheritance was no longer managed by a trustee. He could do with the money that was his what he wanted to. He could manage it himself. He could spend his wealth any way he wanted. His father had set him free from the constraints of the guardians and the trustees, and they granted him full rights as an adult son. And that's exactly what God did for us, his people, believers. When the time had fully come, when the right time had come, on a day which God had set, God sent his son to redeem us as adult sons. God gave us Jesus to set us free from the law. God gave us Jesus to free us from the rules and the regulations which were our guardians and our trustees, and thereby he granted us full rights as his adult sons. He considered us responsible enough to make our own decisions. Mark Galley talked about a time many years ago when he and his wife were having marital moral discourse. Did y'all ever have a marital moral discourse? Well, Mark was becoming increasingly agitated. In his fury, he yelled at his wife and slammed his fist into the wall, and he didn't get in between his tongue. And sheep rock was everywhere, and spirit failed to guide his hand between the studs, and he broke a knuckle. Deathly silence settled in the room. Mark came from a family in which nothing got done until somebody yelled, and his wife came from a family which was yelling and brought things to a standstill. We just didn't do that. She was not going to speak to him for weeks. Mark was writhing in physical as well as emotional pain. He knew he messed up. So he tried the best he could to pick up the sheetrock that was on the floor. And as he did, he felt a hand on his arm. He turned around, and it was his wife, Barbara. She said something apologetic, and he said something apologetic back. And she embraced her husband for a long time. He made the comment, "She had every right to pronounce a grand moral imperative, condemn his behavior, and distance herself from me. And that surely would have taught me a lesson. Instead, she embraced me as an angry sinner, and rather than teaching me a lesson, he helped heal me." In essence, that's what Jesus did for us when he died on the cross for our sins. The Bible says we're at enmity with God, shaking our fist at him. We all are moral failures, making a mess of things, but instead of condemning us, he had every right to do according to the law. Christ reached down, embracing angry sinners on that cross. And by doing that, he set us free from the condemnation of the law, and he began a healing process committed on ours, better than any law could ever have done. John 3:17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn him, but that the world through him might be saved." God did not send his Son to teach us a lesson like little children. No, God sent his Son to redeem us, to free us, to be his adult sons. And that is enough. God also sends his Spirit to remind us that we are indeed his adult sons. God gave us the Spirit of Christ to whisper to our heart that we are his cherished heirs. You see the transition? We're no longer little babies having to be told what to do, where to go, how to act. It's all there. We know. We're believers in Jesus Christ. He tells us the way we should go. But we have the choice as adult children of God to do it or not. The second thing that we need to work not do is we don't need to go back to being a child. Let's look at verses 6 and 7. "And because you are his sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. As a saved child of God, we have the Spirit of God who is living and dwelling within us. Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. We are no longer little children in God's eyes. We're full adult sons ready to take the responsibility of managing the spiritual riches that are ours and as His heirs. I'm going to take a little break here because I think this is important, especially in this day and time. There's a lot of folks who will look at this as saying, why is it always sons? Why isn't it daughters? We're being gender insensitive. Well, they argue it'd be better to say it's a daughter. There's a woman who was raised in a non-Western family as part of a very traditional culture. A type of culture that was predominant in Paul's day. You see, she saw these verses from a different perspective. You see, there was only one son in her family. And it was understood in her culture that he would receive most of the family's provisions and honor because he was the heir. It didn't seem fair because he was the son. But that's just the way it was. He's the son, you're just a girl. And that's the way it was. And then one day, she was looking at this passage in Paul's writing, or passages like it, and she realized that the apostle was making a revolutionary claim here. Paul lived in a traditional culture, like she did. He was living in a place where daughters were second-class citizens. And when Paul said out of his own traditional culture that we are all sons of God, she went, oh, I know what he's saying now. When you give your life to Christ and become a Christian, you receive all the benefits of a son in a traditional culture. Whether you are a male, a female, whether you're black or white, or whatever culture you live in, if you accept Christ, you become as a son in that culture. You are an heir to everything that God has. This is not the language of a sexist. This is the language of a man inspired by the Holy Spirit who had the highest respect for women, putting them at the same level as men when it comes to your salvation and your relationship with God. The Apostle Peter is even more direct. Peter reads, husbands, be considered as you live with your wives. Treat them with respect. And get what he says, as heirs, literally as heirs together of the gracious gift of life that none of these will be through your prayers. This is not about males. This is about receiving the promise of the inheritance of Christ. And he says, all will do that. Believing men and women are heirs together. They're equal. Heirs, co-heirs in the family of God, and all who believe in Jesus are sons. Do you see it? They are full adult sons of the living God with all the rights and the privileges of the oldest of His Son and His family. And that's the message of God's Holy Spirit to all of our hearts, no matter who we are as believers in Jesus Christ. God sent His Son, Jesus, to redeem us as adult sons. And God sent His Holy Spirit to remind us that we are indeed His sons. My friends, let me assure you that this assurance can fill your hearts today. It'll change the way you look at everything in life. If you'll just acknowledge what Christ has done for you as a saved child of God, heir. See, this is not a promise of a better life circumstances. your life circumstances got so good because you became a Christian? I mean, no, because things happen in life, and it has happened. But this is a promise of a far better life. This is the promise of a life of greatness. This is the promise of a life of nobility. This is the promise of eternal life. So please let the Holy Spirit get that message to you today. Let it come into your heart and fill your heart with hope. No matter who you are or how bad off you are, that you are a saved child of God and you are an adult child, son of God, with all the inheritance of the Father as an heir. We were once children, treated like slaves. Now we are his sons. So what? Don't go back to slavery. Don't go back to your childhood. Don't put yourself under the law again. And that's the whole point of the passage in Galatians. It comes to this conclusion. Look at it in verses 8 through 11. It says, "But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. But now, after you've known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elders, to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain." Paul's afraid that after all his work, his new converts are going to go back to their old way of living under the law. Oh, they may have swapped their pagan religion with Jewish religion, but they're still trying to earn God's favor and blessing through their own efforts. They have forgotten that God already treats them like adult sons and heirs. They've forgotten that God has already entrusted spiritual riches to them. They've forgotten who they are in Christ. It's like they're going back to kindergarten again. Can I go to the bathroom? And Paul, under the Holy Spirit, says, don't do it. Don't go back there. You don't have to please God by the law anymore. Do you know that the Holy Spirit is saying the same thing to us today? Stop trying to earn God's favor when you already have it. Stop trying to prove yourself to God, who already approves you of you as an adult son and heir. Stop trying to get God's blessing through your busyness. It doesn't work. Blessing is not found in busyness. It's found in believing what the Holy Spirit is saying to your heart right now, that you are a son and an heir to God, with God. I treat my sons differently now than I did when they were much younger. Boy, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to give you a whooping. You know what will happen? They give me a whooping. For one thing. I don't have that. They're adults. They make their own decisions in life. I can help. I can push. I can encourage. I can do all those things. But they're not under the law of my household. They're not under the taskmaster of Miss Terry. I could. Maybe is it? It better not be on. But you know, it's different. And guess what? None of my kids come back now and say, I want to put themselves under our submission anymore, our training, our guardianship anymore. They want to be free to make decisions and live their life. But guess what? It would not work anymore, would it? If they did, and we tried to treat them like little kids, as adults. Rest in that fact, in the fact that you're an adult child. God in there. Stop trying to find a good life in a magic form. Stop trying to find a good life in a list of do's and don'ts. Stop trying to find a good life in a law, because you can't. There are so many people today that are trying to please God, and they think if you do this, this, and this, and this, God will be on my side. No, God is already not only on your side, He is in you today. And they want you to when a child of God decides that he wants to go back to kindergarten, when he wants to put himself under the law, desperately trying to please, do you know why he wants us to be adults? Well, Elizabeth Elliot put it like this in an article called The Liberty of Obedience. She says, it appears that God has deliberately left us in a quandary about many things. Why did he not summarize all the rules in one book and all the basic doctrines in another? He could have eliminated the loopholes, prevented the schisms over morality and false teaching that has plagued his church for 2,000 years. Think of the squabbling, the perplexity that we would have been spared, and think of all the crop of dwarfs he would have reared. He did not spare us. He wants us to reach maturity. So he arranged things that if we go on beyond the milk diet, we shall be forced to think and grow. He didn't want to keep us as babies. He wanted us to grow into adults. He wanted us to be fully grown. God is not growing a family of little children. He is growing a family of adults, and we are his adult sons. So guess what? We need to start like adults. In matters of spiritual things, we need to begin to make our own spiritual decisions. Simple as that. We have to grow up. We have to act the grown-up that we are. Let's think for ourselves. Not depend on others. Tell them how to think that we have. Listen, guys, if you're counting on me to tell you how to act as a Christian, Divide the word of God. Find out how he wants us to be as children of God, as adults, children of God, how we're supposed to act. I can help you with this, but I don't have any rules. I don't have any regulations for you. All I know is to tell you how to get closer to God. Let him lead you in your life and decisions that you make. We were once children before Jesus came. Now we are adult sons of God. Don't go back to your childhood. Don't put yourself under the restraints of a wall. Do you realize there's only two walls left? He's fulfilled all of them. The greatest two, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, is the first. The second is love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, those two on all the other laws hang. In other words, if you love God and you love your neighbor yourself, you will be following the law. But amazingly enough, you have to love. You can follow the law and not love. That new stop sign that they put on our road at that school, I'll follow you. I don't love it. I mean, I get mad every time I pull up to it. And you do the same thing with things in life. You do things because you have to, not because you love doing it. We should do the things that God wants us to do because we love him and we love others. And that's the fulfillment of the law that he came for us. He wants a change in our hearts, not in our actions. Because he knows that the change comes in our hearts, our actions will change also. Don't put yourself under any kind of law. As a popular 19th century American preacher once said, a nest is good for a robin while it's an egg, but it's bad for a robin when it has wings. The nest is a poor place to fly in, but it's a good place to be hatched in. And my friends, we've got our own. Get out of the nest. Start acting and being the people, the adults that God wants to be in this life. When you stop looking at scriptures and the things in God's word when you stop looking at it from the baby, from the eyes of a little child trying to grow up, and start looking at it as an adult, you've got decisions to make in life concerning what God wants for our life. When you start looking at it like the Bible being a taskmaster for us, and that we've got to do this, this, and this, you start looking at it like I got a loving Heavenly Father above who loves me. Everything changes. So let's grow up. That's freedom's mature. He's allowed us to grow, to be an adult. And that point in time came when we accepted Christ as our into our hearts and our lives. We were not babies. I know I've said it millions of times, but I'm no longer able to say that, that they're the spiritual baby. No, you're spiritual. You accepted Christ, you're saved, you're not a baby. You may be drinking milk like a baby. You may be acting like a baby, but in God's eyes, you're an adult. And it's time we start acting our age. If you're here this morning, and you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart and life, can I tell you something that you may find a little unusual, or find frightening, in fact? You are under the law. You've not received His words. You've not received His mercy. You're not a son of God. So therefore, you are under the law. And being under the law means, if you break a law, which is sin, what does that mean? You die. You're a sinner. You're not fit to be to be in heaven with God. So, if that's the case, if you're here today, you've never accepted Christ as Savior, you are under law. The only way that you can do this, that you can be with Christ, aside from Jesus Christ as Savior, is to not break the law of God. Have you ever lied? Have you ever stole? Have you ever coveted? Have you ever put a false God? I think we've done blown that, haven't we? Then you're lost. There's no way that you could possibly fulfill the law yourself and be saved. You're condemned if you've never asked Christ into your heart and life because you're under the law. But this morning, you may be here in that position. And I've got some good news for you. You too can be a son of God. An adult son of God, heir to everything He's got. They mentioned in our passage this morning, the fullness of time. When the time was right, He sent His Son to come, fulfill the law for us, take our place, take our punishment. That those who believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's about trusting the Lord. You see, when you accept, when you ask Jesus Christ into your heart and life, when you do that, He comes in. The Spirit of God dwells in you and become changed on the inside. The outside ring looks pretty much the same. The inside is totally changed. You have a different spirit. And you become a child of God. Not a baby. Not an infant that just had to be taken care of under all, but you become an adult, a child of God, who is an heir to the kingdom of God. That's what you can do this morning. And you too can have this promise. You can just turn and trust Him. You're here today. Trying to please God any other way. Just trust Him. His mercy, His grace, and His love. You think by doing things is going to please Him, that's going to make you more acceptable. But you get that idea. Throw it away. Because it's not true. That's the Satan talk. You are His child. Adult child. He loves you. He's approved you. And one day, no matter what happens here on this earth, you can't
change that relationship. It changes the way we live our life and live our lives out. My plea this morning, if you are thinking, well, please God, have this. Your life will be a blessing because you all will be thinking about it. How in the world am I going to get God? How in the world am I going to please God? And you won't be concerned about that person next to you. You won't be concerned about your neighbor or your co-worker. You won't be concerned about that family member because you'll be too worried about how you're going to please God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all your heart. Do that. God will take care of the rest. That's all I'm saying. As we prepare for the invitation, I don't know your mind.